Ladies, gentlemen, and disappointments, we are coming to you live from the Woman Caves in New York and Connecticut. My name is Leslie.
And my name is Melissa.
And we are Verbally Disastrous. Hello, everyone. I hope all is well. I've decided to share a story from when I worked at a local county jail. I spent about 6 months there. We had a lot of shenanigans go down during that time. So I said, I might as well tell you about it. So, taking it from the top, I took a call from the union hall as a female journeywoman electrician that required me to work at the Westchester County Jail. This county jail is located in Valhalla, New York. So in reference to New York City, it's approximately a half hour north when out of the Bronx. I was not under an impression that I could turn down that call, even though it did not sound enticing at the time. I refused to allow myself to have any fear with this job because your first knee-jerk instinct is to say, hell no, I'm not doing this job. Might end up getting into some bullshit with some inmates. That's not what I want to do. The other part of me was like, take the damn job and show them that you can do it. So I ended up taking the job. The only other time I worked at a jail was back when I briefly worked as a fifth-year apprentice at Sing Sing. That's basically Ossining, New York, which is, in reference to Valhalla, it's more over by on the Hudson, maybe a 15-minute drive, 20-minute drive between the two. Sing Sing, I think, is more for heavy-duty folks who get into trouble. Well, we worked on a brand-new hospital wing that was not occupied with inmates. Therefore, I didn't interact with inmates on that project. I also did not know what to expect on this new job. We walked in the front door with our tools. They told us our phones were forbidden behind the walls of the prison. At first, I thought about not having your phone in the event of an emergency was nerve-wracking. We get so accustomed to having this electronic device at our fingertips. After some thinking about it, I liked the thought of being blissfully unaware of what is going on outside the walls of the prison for 8 hours. It took me back to how life was before cell phones were a thing. You could just focus on work and your immediate surroundings until the end of the day. Any problems were addressed after I went home. I almost miss that aspect of not being constantly bombarded with data. It reminded me of my teens to early 20s back in the 1990s era. How bad could this prison job be? I said to myself. On day one, I meet my crew and my general foreman who goes by the name of Teddy. Here comes this skinny, long-haired, and bearded, totally tatted up, biker-looking guy who identifies himself as the leader of the crew to greet us. If the 80s band known as ZZ Top was missing a bandmate, we found him. Teddy wore a dirty leather jacket with patches that made him appear to belong to a biker gang. It did make me wonder what he really did during his free time. I can't forget Teddy's constant need to spit his chewing tobacco in a cup every few minutes while talking. Ugh! This is beyond disgusting and such a distraction. In the back of my mind, I was then worrying about accidentally knocking over the cup at some point. I try to look past this clear distraction and listen to Teddy instruct me on the scope of the job. I get teamed up with different partners. This depends on the task we're working on. If we're installing conduit in a jail space, I have one partner. If we are pulling various types of wires in the conduits, we work in a much larger group. Once in a while, Teddy will come into the space to check on us. At times, he's super serious. Other times, he comes in cracking jokes and being dramatic with his arms and hands flailing. While he's doing that, his hair and beard are going in various directions. Teddy is indeed an interesting leader. Thankfully, the guys that I teamed up with are far more interesting. As a team of two, we were assigned a correctional officer for the day to be with us the entire time we were working. Each CO we had for the day had a different personality. One guy was a jokester and had a quirky hot and cold personality. He was really into sharing old stories of the prison. The next day, we would deal with a health nut CO who was serious and not a guy that would bend the rules at all. We never knew what type of guy was assigned to us that day. We went with the flow and worked according to what was allowed or not allowed. We were installing cameras in the prison. Each camera installation involved running hundreds of feet of metallic conduit, known as electrical metallic tubing, EMT for short, down the hallways. We would then double back and pull in the power and low voltage cable that's required to operate the camera. Now, of course, our last step involved camera install and testing out in each field location. You can't forget power and low voltage terminations on the closet side. In order to get in between the walls, we needed to use a heavy concrete hammer drill to penetrate the walls. Of course, the passing inmates would see me on the ladder chopping concrete or penetrating walls like the rest of the guys. Other times, I was using self-tapping screws to secure one-hole straps for the conduit on the steel above. I have always been willing to work as a female just as hard as my male co-workers. One of my co-workers, his name is Larry, told several inmates to not mess with me. Larry is a bald, very muscular guy with handlebar mustache, tribal tattoos over his biceps, and who had a sarcastic delivery almost every time he spoke. It was so hard not to laugh every time he spoke. He went on to tell a story that I was an MMA fighter and getting ready to knock out some chicks in the ring. I returned to the space to do more work, and I'm drilled by the inmates about my upcoming fight in the octagon. I tend to smile, shrug my shoulders, and make up some date for my upcoming fight, and hope an inmate doesn't check up on me to see if I'm lying. In my head, I want to kill Larry for making this garbage up. I know we were told to not speak to the inmates whatsoever. However, it is hard to constantly ignore an inmate who's trying to engage in simple dialogue with you. I really didn't like the fact that we had open carts with our tools on it. Thinking back, I wish they should have given us covered carts. Oh, perhaps the reason for not having that was due to the CO on duty needing to watch all of our tools on the cart. I didn't like the fact that we had inmates walking past us at any time. They were not handcuffed, nor had any form of restraints on their hands. I used to feel on edge while working in the main hallway. This was especially true if I had my back to both our tools and the inmates. Those were those moments when I really had to rely on the CO on duty. I liked it when we worked on empty cell blocks. We would sing inappropriate songs and talk trash on the empty cell blocks. These antics made the feeling of, quote, being locked up less restricting. Those songs were highly inappropriate. As the project moves along, I lose some partners and gain some new partners. There was an old part of the jail and a new part of the jail. The old part of the jail did not have air conditioning, and the new part of the jail was equipped with air conditioning. When I started working on the project, it was winter time. We were all working in the new section of the jail. As the project continues into the spring and summer, the temperatures and matching humidity climb within the cell blocks of the old jail. Now, some of the co-workers, including the shop steward, really wanted to stay in the air conditioning in the new jail. Teddy approached me prior to the weather getting hotter to ask me about where I wanted to work. This was the first time for me. A general foreman is actually asking me where I want to work? I appreciate the choice. I also knew that this choice would impact how long I work. If I chose the new jail, I was a sitting duck for when the project required less people. I would definitely go down the road and get a layoff if I chose the new jail. If I chose the old jail, I would absolutely sweat my ass off all summer long. The cell block sections with no windows and no air movement would absolutely be miserable. I would earn respect from my peers by choosing the old jail. After a quick mental assessment, I told Teddy that I will work in the old jail. Ugh. This choice is going to be brutal and terrible. This stuff I'm willing to do to prove myself. If I'm going to the old sweaty section of the prison, shall I say sweaty, at least I'm going to have some fun co-workers to endure it alongside me. It didn't help when one of my partners would complain about the guys working in the new jail. Larry would create a scenario in his mind about the new jail crew. He would describe them all in an electric closet, doing absolutely nothing, and keeping cool and dry. I think he just did that just to fuck with me. I would laugh at him and try to change the subject. I didn't want to think about how anyone had it easier than me. It was bad enough that I walked into work each morning knowing that I was going to sweat buckets of water by the time it was quitting time. Not only buckets of water, it felt like an endurance race to maintain energy and a struggle to simply breathe normal. As the day progressed, the boots became heavier and the pants would soak up sweat like a sponge and give rashes to between my legs. It was a huge challenge to get through the summer in the old jail and remain productive. We were told that we had to wear shirts with sleeves. I would wear a tank top under a button-up shirt. When I had a moment of opportunity, I would work in an empty cell with just a tank top on. One day, I got busted with my partner while working in a tank top. It was made into such a big deal. You would have thought I smuggled in contraband to the inmates. It went all the way up to the chain of command in the prison to the warden. The blessing was, the warden was sweet on me and gave me a warning to not do it again. The way he used to quietly make dirty suggestions to me, he was clearly attracted to me. I laughed off his suggestion to go to the top of the prison and gaze up at the stars on a mattress. I was grateful for the reprieve on the broken tank top rule. Just the stuff that people have said to me, I could probably write a book. And no, I would never take anyone for any form of harassment claim, ever. You would get a beat down in the parking lot with a 2x4 before I'd do that shit to anyone, and everybody knows it. So, moving on. The warden was not the only person in the prison that was sweet on me. I had the entire crew on the chow line say hello to me every day. The chow line was worked by a crew of inmates that were very close to be... This is so damn funny to me. Compose yourself, Leslie. All right, moving on. Explaining what the chow line is. The chow line was worked by a crew of inmates that were very close to being discharged from jail. I want to say maybe they had 6 months to go or less. The chow line consisted of multiple carts that were loaded with trays of food that were for all the inmates in the jail. These inmates would each push the cart in what I would describe as a caravan of meals on wheels. I remember the crew coming through for breakfast and lunch. I was lucky to not be stuck working long enough to see the dinner chow line. I must have left a positive impression on the chow line. Each morning, when I came to the locked fence where our tool area was, there was a paper bag next to the gate with my first name on it. The funny thing was, this bag had a wide consistency of breakfast items. I never told an inmate what my name was either. They must have gotten my name from my co-workers calling me for different things. The reaction on Teddy's face when he first saw the bag was priceless. He approached me with a bewildered look and said, "Leslie, what the fuck?" I replied, "What are you looking at me for? I didn't make a request in the kitchen for items. They took it upon themselves to hook me up." Of course, my reply made my entire crew howl in laughter. I would then joke that in the event of a riot, I would still be alive. Larry chimes in that I would have to, quote, "take one for the team." Of course, this would encourage more dirty construction worker banter and a bunch of laughing. To this day, I am still humored by this surprise discovery and the funny banter that followed. Larry was tickled by the discovery and went to great pains to think of funny things to discuss further on the matter. At one point, Teddy gives a mean glare at Larry. Teddy is trying to use his eyes to tell Larry to shut the hell up and get on to work. We walk away with our tools. Once out of Teddy's earshot, Larry throws me a challenge. He goes on to taunt me by saying that if I had any pull in this prison, I would be able to get shrimp ramen noodles. I tell Larry that it is game on. I made sure to mention how much I like shrimp ramen noodles to Larry while the inmates were pushing the carts for the chow line. I want to say a day or two later, my AM paper bag care package had a container of shrimp ramen noodles in it. Boy, did I gloat to Larry about how much pull I have here in this prison. I still grin from ear to ear thinking about that memory. At one point, Larry moves on to do work in another part of the prison. This means that I get another partner who was an Italian guy who came from England. His name was Ronaldo, and quite the funny character. Ronaldo was a little taller than me, bald, stocky build, and obviously very much Italian. He was the type of guy who always talked with his hands. Ronaldo shifts from quiet to a guy with jokes all day, real quick. As I get to know Ronaldo, he is very much a family guy. He speaks fondly of his wife and his little girls, as well as his close-knit family here and abroad. Don't get me wrong, Larry also speaks fondly of his wife and family. Ronaldo was another good partner to work with in this prison. As we are moving along with our pipe runs in these various cell blocks, Ronaldo tells me tales of his Italian ancestors. I wasn't sure whether to believe the stories or not. Regardless of whether or not they were true tales, they were highly amusing and made the work days go by much faster. Ronaldo would tell me about how his relatives about 50 years ago or more were part of the mafia back in the day. He told a story about a cousin who was a bookie, wore really nice suits, would go collect money owed with his baseball bet, and was very generous at weddings within the family. If the stories were fake, then Ronaldo had a very active imagination. Ronaldo shared that he always wanted to be a singer. Of course, this brought out the karaoke vibes out of the both of us. We would make up the most ridiculous, dirty prison songs. Songs such as "Don't Drop the Soap," "In Your Anus," "I'll Make You Famous," and much, much more. There's probably songs that I don't remember that he started. If we were in an unoccupied cell block, we would sing as loudly and ridiculously as possible. Thinking back, I can't believe we even got away with that stuff. It would block out the drama that was brewing amongst all of the work crew in the prison. By some point, people in the work crew were worried about layoffs as the scope of work that was left shrank. It was better to just focus on work and let the dust settle as it may. I was thankful to work with some interesting co-workers. I had one co-worker. His name was Eric. That was so damn funny. He was funny without even trying. Just his mannerisms, the tone in his voice when he spoke, and his hand gestures were so damn funny at all times. He would just make up funny stories on the fly that you knew were complete bullshit. He had a wife with no kids. He used to go over the top and joke that his wife used to feed him bread and water and untie him to go to work. When he was done with work, it was back to the dungeon. It made no sense why he didn't have kids. He would have been an excellent dad. He would tell us stories about customers who were absolute jerks at his night job at Home Depot. I would tease him about having to walk out of jail all sweaty and put on the orange apron and turn into super electrician. He would joke around and say that he was already rich as an electrician. His second job at Home Depot was to buy his midlife crisis SUV, the Cadillac Escalade. He would press further and say he was working on having a compound filled with all Escalades. Each of them would have specialized license plates with his name on them. We would go for hours, quote, spinning the yarn on some bullshit story. The stories would involve us being stuck in a prison riot, Eric putting on his Home Depot apron and busting us all out of jail. He would ram his Cadillac Escalade in the prison bars and get us all out. Teddy would be using his beard over the fence to help us drop over the fence and escape, kind of like a Rapunzel story. It made it even better when multiple co-workers would get in on the story to make it more and more ridiculous. Ronaldo and I had to team up together to work in a hallway. One time we were working without a CO readily nearby. I don't remember why and how that was allowed to happen at the time. A group of juvenile inmates were cut out of a classroom and were heading toward the gate that brings you to an elevator. The elevator was gated on the other side of the hallway as well. Ronaldo and I saw the regular inmates on the other side of the hallway. They were trying to amp up the juveniles that were near us. Well, it worked. The young thugs looked our way and started to head our way to make a move. Ronaldo and I quickly moved into an electric closet with our cart and closed it seconds before the inmates got to us. Ronaldo successfully held the door tightly to keep them from coming in. He and I were stressed out with that brush with trouble. We stuck around in the closet until our blood pressure dropped. Our CO was also knocking on the electrical closet door looking for us after the gang of troublemakers left. Now that was a close call. This wasn't even the craziest thing that happened while I worked in the jail. We also got to see how creative inmates can be while locked up. The warden showed us handmade shanks made out of toothbrushes and other benign grooming products, such as hairbrushes. When we were walking on the block, we saw a guy using garbage bags filled with water as weights to lift. We also saw a guy in the break room lying on a round, heavy table and bench pressing another large table. Both Ronaldo and I were like, what the fuck? Ronaldo and I get a taste of the antics of a crazy inmate shortly thereafter. Ronaldo and I are stationed in a main hallway of the old jail that is not far from the medical unit. Apparently, there was a section where the crazy inmates are housed together. There was a well-known crazy chick that is a regular in the prison. The woman gets naked in her cell and throws fecal matter at the correctional officers. As soon as we heard about this woman and others, it tends to put fear in your heart about a potential crazy interaction while working nearby. While up on the ladder working, we were told by the CO to get off the ladder and put our backs against the wall. We are positioned near a gate that brings you out to an elevator bank. Four correction officers were walking the infamous crazy patient. Now, I'm making sure to not make any eye contact. Despite the fact that I was looking away, the woman launched a wad of spit onto my shirt, took two more steps, and spit on my partner. This act causes all four COs to take the woman to the ground. I found out, after the fact, that she was supposed to be wearing a spit guard. Mind you, the guards were struggling to take down the inmate. They all opened up cans of mace to take her down. This mace was powerful enough to permeate the air around the inmate where we were standing. It reminded me of the gas chamber in boot camp. My eyes and nose were running like crazy, and it was hard to breathe. I felt my heart racing way too damn fast. I started to panic. My mind started thinking about how chaotic the scene was. Inmates were loosely walking around, tools on the cart, and I can't see a damn thing. I left the tools with the acting CO and decided to leave. I grabbed Ronaldo by the arm, and my arm was locked in his arm. We ran as fast as we could all the way down to the gate, heading towards the medical department. The CO on the other end of the hallway opened the gate and let us go into the space so we could use the eyewash stations. I felt like I was soaking my face for ages. We regained some of our composure. It honestly scared me how fast my heart was racing. Ronaldo had just had a heart attack a few weeks before. He was thinking of going back to work. I said, "The hell you are! We're going to the emergency room." The hospital happened to be a stone's throw away from the jail. I remember coming in, and my blood pressure after rinsing my face was almost 185 over 110. I remember the nurse saying that I needed to rest and get it back down. I can only imagine how bad it was during the moment where we fled. I am glad that I talked Ronaldo into taking care of himself. After leaving the emergency room, I went home. I didn't even go back to pack up my tools. Thankfully, they got pushed into our cage for the night. We both came back to work the next day and went to work in the exact hallway. Boy, we're gluttons for punishment. I am grateful for no more crazy interactions for the rest of the time I worked there. We did experience some creepy ghost vibes. At some point, while I was on the project, we were working in the basement. We were working in an old abandoned cell block. they now store stuff in that place. We needed to get conduit runs from the floor above to the floor below. Despite the creepy vibe in the space with the darkness and peeling paint, there was something bad there. I could not put my finger on it. I felt it when I was close to the gates. We had a CO in the space who gave us a clue as to why the space was so creepy. He shared that this was the cell block back in the 1980s where they used to put people withdrawing on heroin or had AIDS. He goes on to explain that many people died of heroin withdrawals right here where the gate was and in the bathroom. I was so creeped out that I picked up on that before he even said it. I said a quiet prayer to the people who passed on that block. I was glad that we didn't have to stick around in that abandoned cell block for very long. Of course, the correction officer said that what they overlooked back then, they could never get away with that today. Any inmate hooked on heroin today would have to be properly treated with medical care. That goes for AIDS patients as well. He did say that inmates used to get their asses beat down far more back in the day. For the average inmate, conditions are better today than they were in the past. Once it was time to leave the job site, I was glad to not have to return for any other projects. I'm still connected with some of my former coworkers via Facebook or Instagram. I actually just reached out to Super Electrician today to inform him that I am writing a story about him. One of the guys in the crew was a foreman for my eldest son, who is a fourth-year apprentice most recently. He made sure to say hi to me. It made sense that I would have at least one kid follow me into the business. I am pushing my younger son to become an electrical engineer. Even though he wants to work with the tools, I think he should work with his mind. Anywho, this wraps up my story on the time I was working alongside the inmates in the local county jail. I have more short stories from when I worked with the tools, so look out for them. I'm also giving a disclaimer. Names have been changed to protect the identity of my coworkers, so none of the names are my legitimate coworkers. So if you have any questions or you would like to check out further content, head over to my blog at www.constructiontales.com. This is your host, Leslie, signing out and wishing you a good day. Peace out, Cub Scout.
This wraps up another episode on the Verbally Disastrous podcast that can be found on Spotify, SoundCloud, and YouTube. For more information, head over to www.constructiontales.com. Thank you for listening, and have a great one.